might not be everyone's cup of tea, but the Rugby League World Cup certainly has been an outstanding success for the Seven Network. The crowds have been pretty good. The viewership has been excellent for Seven. The quality of the football highlighted by the match we saw on the weekend, which was Tonga upsetting New Zealand, was just fantastic. And I had my say earlier on this morning about Dave Clemmer getting off the shoulder to Saab. Well, that was okay. It wasn't a shoulder charge. It did leave Saab in the HIA. But I was really surprised that our good mate Aaron Woods got off that lifting tackle on Tim Menner. Let's get the thoughts of the seventh tackles, Josh Masur. G'day, Josh.
G'day, boys.
Yeah, what did you think of the Clemmer decision and the Woods decision?
Yeah, mate, I don't know what they're smoking, the MRC. I could not believe it. Woods clearly had a couple of goes at getting that hand on the inside thigh of Manor to lift him and hold him up in a tackle. And once you do that, you sort of take your fate out of your own hands. So whatever happens afterwards, you've got to be culpable for. And Tim Manor ended up in what was a classic dangerous position. I mean, the guy's perpendicular to the ground, regardless of whether he was placed down gently. That's not the point. The point of the charge is being placed in a dangerous position. If that's not a dangerous position, then we might as well just throw out the whole rule book and start again. You know, Woods is a great guy. Definitely wouldn't have meant any harm from it. But it just went wrong from him trying to hold him up. And, yeah, I think it definitely should have gone before the judiciary.
And I think, Josh, this highlights the fact that the ruling under the international to the NRL are very different.
Well, yeah, a lot of the people they still use on the MRC are former players, same sort of guys that they use for the NRL. They haven't come out with an explanation as to why he wasn't charged. The system's a bit different. There would have been, had he been charged, there would have been no scope for him to plead guilty and there's no points either. It's just pure matches.
Right.
That would have gone before a judiciary. It's a little bit different, but yeah, the review system is similar and that's what's got me scratching my head. Yeah, I don't know if people are just a bit fatigued by controversy in footy, but I reckon if this happened in June, they'd be out over it.
Mate, look, as I stated, if it was the NRL, he'd be having a weekend off at least. Now, Josh, in the older days, in a time gone by, for these international games and even in the Origin arena, it used to be, oh, well, that was a really bad hit to the head from your bloke. And, you know, in the dressing room over a beer, they go, yeah, but your bloke in the 17th minute got our bloke high in the head with a stiff arm. Okay, square off. No worries,
yeah.
No charges anywhere.
But I suppose for this particular type of tackle in the wake of particularly the Alex McKinnon tragedy, that's a totally different breed. And, I'd rather see something like that punished severely. I don't think 1 week was enough. I think it should have been getting 4 or 5 weeks. But the potential for injury when someone is placed in that position is huge. Don't bother about whether there was an injury or not. We cannot have players being placed in that position.
Yeah. But just on this, and I mentioned the success of the World Cup. It has been a success. But the Kangaroos now up in Darwin. This is going to be Friday night, Darwin 8:30, up against Samoa. Samoa hasn't won a game. They've been really disappointing throughout the World Cup. The Kangaroos haven't yet sort of... They've been good without being absolutely fantastic. Why Darwin? And we had a few people from Newcastle complaining there's no matches in Newcastle.
Well, Newcastle's in New South Wales, which we see there's only 2 games in Sydney. And I don't think the state of New South Wales probably didn't throw enough of the green stuff at the World Cup organisers.
Sure.
So I think that'd be your answer.
Yep.
Whereas the Northern Territory, which has shown a bit of an appetite for rugby league over the last 4 or 5 years,
good appetite,
hosting Parramatta games.
Yeah.
I did so. It's probably not ideal for Mount Meninga, this at all. The weather there is just going to be ridiculous. It's probably going to be 33, 34 degrees, full on humidity. It's going to really test their recovery, their sports science, all sorts of things. Not ideal when you've got a semi-final in a week's time. And he mightn't be able to pick the exact team he would have liked to pick if he's playing in a normal climate either, with an eye on that semi-final. So I think if you got Mal after a few beers in the bar, I reckon he'd admit that it's probably not ideal, but he's got to put on a smiling face and propagate the game of rugby league across Australia.
I'm sure you were the same as all of us, mate, with the performance of Tonga.
Yeah.
Oh, just I just can't stop banging on about it, boys. You know, if in the next couple of months the game does not organise some sort of Pacific Tri-Series or Pacific Series. I think it should be Samoa and Tonga, personally, because I think there's that rivalry and that hatred between them. Similar to State of Origin, I don't like the concept of bringing a whole lot of other countries in, because I think it waters it down. But that would be better than nothing. They have to take, they have to seize this opportunity, you know, strike while the iron's hot. And if they don't, then it's a massive lost opportunity. The spotlight is massively now on Nigel Wood and John Grant, who looks like he's going to become the chairman of the International Rugby League Federation, to do something.
Yeah. And could you maybe have the curtain raiser? Could that... Yeah, I don't disagree that you're just keeping it at the same nations, because those scenes and that Waikato Stadium was just heaving and rocking. But maybe what Fiji and PNG, to try and help them out and give them their players somewhere to play, they maybe play curtain raisers or something like that.
Yeah, there's like, I've been to both Fiji and PNG for rugby league in the last 2 months. They're Melanesians, so they have a bit of a natural rivalry themselves. But the Polynesians, the Samoa, talking to people who were at both those games at Hamilton over the last 2 weeks, they say the atmosphere at the Samoa-Tonga game was actually better because the New Zealand component of the crowd last week didn't really care as much. It was a bit of a big brother, little brother type thing. The Tongans cared a lot, but the Kiwis were a bit quiet. So the natural rivalry isn't Tonga and New Zealand, it's Tonga and Samoa. And that's the way I'd go, and I'd have the winner of that series playing New Zealand or playing Australia.
Is there any more upsets, Josh?
Oh, not really. I can't see PNG probably toppling England. I think they've had too soft a tournament at home against, you know, inferior opposition. England weren't that impressive aside from the first 10 minutes, but they should account for them. New Zealand, I think, you know, they'll bounce back against Fiji. They're really lacking up front. Fiji, unfortunately, they lost a few big names in Kane Evans and Corbin Sims before the tournament. Samoa, wow. I've been so disappointed in them. On paper, you think they could challenge Aussies for maybe a half, but no chance whatsoever. Yeah. And the funny one's the Lebanese, I suppose. If you want to play Tonga, you'd want to be playing them this week. They might be on an emotional letdown.
Yeah.
They look like they celebrated like they won the tournament. Lebanon held up the ruck really well against Australia. I mean, when you've got Cameron Smith coming out and complaining about wrestling tactics, if that's not a backhanded compliment, I don't know what is. I spoke to Robbie and Freddie yesterday, and there's going to be some interesting comments coming out on our news tonight. They were quite happy to give it back to Cameron Smith, but they took it as a backhanded compliment. And probably the Tongans aren't proficient at ruck control. So if they can do as good a job as they did against Australia and frustrate them a little bit, well, there might be an outside chance. But physically, boys, they are cooked, the Cedars. They've only got 18 fit players.
Yeah, that's a shame. They've been a really good attraction throughout the World Cup as well. Brad doing a good job, and Mitchell Moses and Robbie Farrell. We look forward to those comments on 7 News tonight, Josh, as well.
Yeah, I just want to ask Josh about this night situation with the $1.5 million they have to spend to hit that 95% of the salary cap. I mean, are you hearing whispers that Mitchell Pearce will go there and they can allocate a lot of it towards him?
Look, the whispers are that Mitchell Pearce will probably see it out at the Roosters, or at least in Sydney. If you look at him, he's very close to his parents, and in particular his mother. Like, he's always been a family kid. So him moving out of Sydney, most people don't think he'll probably do that. So if he were to leave the Roosters, maybe Cronulla would be a bit more of an option. Right. Provided he's not as money motivated. Newcastle obviously can offer him a lot more. I'm sure the Roosters, though, would prefer, if he was to go somewhere, it to be Newcastle, because what's the point of releasing him to make a rival really strong?
Yeah.
You throw Mitchell Pearce into that Cronulla side, geez, they've got to almost start premiership favourites, don't they?
Yeah.
So, I mean, and as for the rule itself, Slats, I don't like it.
We're saying
if a club's been prudent in its buying and got some discount buys and comes in under the cap, well, then they should get a benefit for the following year.
Yep, exactly right. Good on you, Josh. Well done, mate. We'll be watching you on 7 News tonight.
Cheers, boys.